You Can Live in It for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Hey, everybody. Hey, Natalie. Oh, she's coughing up a lung. I don't think we need to ask how you are.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm a mess.
You are a mess, but you look so good. You look like you're 15.
Stop.
It's
Why?
Your birthday
Why
tomorrow.
Do you say that?
I think your birthday celebration is lasting longer than mine does.
It's not true. It just started.
By the way, here at Podcast One, they redid the studio, and it looks so good.
It's very fancy.
The only problem is the table looks terrible. And this is what happens when people try to do things to their house. They say things like, oh, I would just really like to redo the cabinets.
Right.
But once you redo the cabinets, the counter looks like crap.
Totally.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. It's a domino.
Yep, I agree.
So it's whoever's listening here at Podcast One, change the table. Made it look worse.
We should just put like a jar in the middle and just put like a...
Like a tip jar? Like we could... Like a GoFundMe?
Yeah. Exactly.
A grassroots GoFundMe in a tip jar? That's so funny. We had so much fun last night celebrating your birthday.
You guys are so sweet.
The kids were so funny.
That was awesome.
There's a picture on my Instagram at Heather Dubrow if you want to check it out. But it was the kids' idea. And they came up with this idea. First of all, the idea was supposed to be black and gold and silver. They wanted to do mixed metals, which is funny because we just did that as a topic on my YouTube channel, Heather's Closet, and white and clear.
Okay.
And they wanted butterflies. There were no butterflies. There was no silver.
I wonder why butterflies.
Like, I don't know.
Even have like a thing for butterflies.
I don't know. That's what they wanted to do. And then it was my idea to do a cake bar because I love doing little cakes instead of one big one. And I honestly, what is your favorite cake flavor?
That's hard. I don't really have one.
See, that's why I couldn't come up with one.
I don't really like cake. That's the problem.
Right. What's your favorite dessert?
Cheesecake.
Really? How do I not know that?
Yeah.
Cheesecake.
I mean, I love a good cookie, but cheesecake is like one of my top for sure.
You know, I used to love cheesecake when I was a kid.
Oh.
It was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Now I would be so sick if I ate a piece of cheesecake. So we did the cake bar, and on one of the cakes, what did they write on it?
Not 30 yet.
Not 30 yet.
So good. The problem is I couldn't taste any of it because I'm like so
I know.
Stuffed.
Poor thing. She goes, I'll have a little slice of all the cakes. So I make her this plate.
I hate you, by the way.
Okay. I make her a plate. I'm like, you don't have to eat. Just take a bite of each, whatever. And so she takes one bite. She goes, I can't taste anything. But you know what's
coming from you, which you didn't even have like a carb last night.
That is because I gained 6 pounds,
so
7 pounds, and I'm trying to take it off.
Ugh, I'm sure you could literally take it off in a day.
Well, I don't want to do it. I know I can take it off fast, but what I'm trying to do, so Terry and I just started writing our new book, our new Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig book, which is all about diet and exercise. And I've tried, I think, every diet on the planet, and I have my own system based on everything I've learned. And that's what I'm kind of testing out to lose the weight to see
so
if it works for the book.
What's your goal right now?
Goal weight?
Yeah. No, like what's your goal weight to lose?
Oh, I want to lose 6 pounds.
6 pounds and how long? Are you giving yourself any
care. And for those of you that are out there saying, she's so skinny. Listen, I'm thin. That is true. I don't consider myself overweight or heavy, but this is just a general fact. Yeah. If you gain 6-7 pounds from, you know, your baseline, it's still 6 or 7 pounds. Like
right.
You get a muffin top.
Yeah.
I'm actually right now I'm wearing high-waisted jeans, which I despise. But because my other jeans give me a muffin top right now.
I love a high-waisted jean.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
That's because you want your legs to look longer.
Totally. Cover up the love handles. Yes.
Oh, I know. It's a good jean. But then I thought, am I giving myself a camel toe? Is this unattractive? And then I also wanted to wear this sweater today. Well, when we post this episode, you'll see the sweater I'm wearing. It's such a cute sweater. But I didn't realize how short it was.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to put it on with jeans, and there was too much of a gap.
Yeah.
And even if I was like perfect weight and stood up, I would have to stand very still and very tall and not breathe or move. And then, so anyway, I needed the high-waisted.
Oh my gosh.
Pants.
Okay, well, good luck with the 6 pounds.
Thank you. But, what I was going to say is I'm not obsessed with it. I'm not like, it must come off. I just feel like I don't love it. I do like the way my face looks.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's not 6 or 7. Maybe I'll just do 4, you know, and keep
right.
a couple of pounds there and hope it stays in my face. Is that ridiculous?
But do you feel bloat? Is it like the bloating feeling?
No, no. And I've been dieting now for like a week and doing it very healthy. And so it's not coming off fast, but I feel so good.
Good.
I feel like I have energy you know, I'm eating clean. And the only bad thing is that I started drinking diet soda again.
That's so bad for you.
I know. And Terry was like, who cares? So it's a diet. I'm like, okay, Dr. Diet Coke.
Oh, soda's the worst.
Why is it so bad, though?
Oh, my God. All the sugars and
there's
the
nothing like a Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. Are you a Diet Coke or Pepsi?
But that causes cellulite. They say.
Who says that?
Oh, look it up. That's what they say.
I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because that's what they say.
But what in it would cause cellulite?
Don't ask me these questions.
By the way, this is what we're going to talk about on Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig tonight. We're going to do our podcast later. And I'm writing this down. Does soda cause cellulite or is that truthiness?
God,
that's what Terry
like
always says. Terry goes, is that truthiness? Well, I will tell you that one of the thoughts is that if you eat sort of the way that I eat, which is lean proteins and vegetables mostly, that they say that's really good for cellulite reduction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cellulite just sucks.
And weight training, though. I mean, it really is about weight training.
Definitely. Weight-bearing exercise for sure.
Yeah.
And the correct diet. It's a whole big plan. But you know what? Cellulite's the worst. And it's
hereditary.
It's hereditary.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... sucks.
It sucks. Ugh. Does your mom have it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my mom, too.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to listen to this and be mad at me. I don't care. Whatever. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
Give me your cooking skills. You had to give me the cellulite. Really? So Nikki got 2 progress reports from school, which is not a good thing.
No.
So at my son's school, they send a progress report when things are no bueno. And so I looked, and his school is in trimesters. So he did well first trimesters, all A's, couple B's, but he did well.
Yeah.
And so they send some notes home. I hope he's not going to kill me for talking about this. But anyway, I got these notes sent home about how 2 of his grades dropped and not well. But what was so funny was the way they wrote the notes were so nice. It wasn't like he needs to – they were saying he's such a great kid. He's smart. He is a leader in the class. I love having him in my class. And he's an enthusiastic learner. He just rushes through things and makes careless mistakes. He's the first one done with the test. And I so get it. I hated school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Oh, I hated it.
I hated it. So I understood. Like, it's so painful for him. He just wants it to be over.
Poor kid. I mean, but, you know, it's so hard because he does have a tutor.
Yeah. But you notice that he had the tutor first trimester and then he started roller hockey again and all these other things. And then the tutor wasn't around all the time. And so the tutor dropped off. And that's when I think the grades went down because he didn't have someone focusing him. By the way, I would love to do his homework with him. But any parent that does homework with their child knows it is an exercise in futility and frustration. And I just got to the point at the end of last year where I said, I can't do it anymore. Can't do his homework. I'd rather hang out with him, do something fun with him.
You're constantly just battling with him.
It's like the whole evening, he comes home and his whole evening is me fighting with him. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yep.
So thankfully, you know, we could afford to have the tutor. And so the tutor comes home. But I think that when we stop with the tutor, his grades went down. But they also wrote on these slips, one of the teachers said, I've offered to have Nikki come to my class twice a week and work with me, and he has not accepted that offer. He's chosen not to accept that. Oh, thank you so much. It's so kind of you. I have otherwise engaged on the playground where I'm happier.
At what point do you say, hey, you know, you enjoy hockey? I mean, is that something that
to take it away from him?
Privilege?
Well, here's what I did.
Okay.
I took away all of the electronics.
Well, yeah,
I want him. He needs to play. He doesn't play a ton of sports. I like him being active. I like him being on a team. And yes, he loves it. And it would probably hurt him to not go. But I think that's something that's good for him to do. The high school that he wants to go to has a good team. He's transitioning from roller to ice hockey. And so he needs to keep skating.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. But what I did was I took his computer out of his room. I took the laptop. I took his phone.
Ooh,
oh, yeah. Bye-bye, Xbox. Bad day. And I wasn't mad. I sat down and I'm like, look, I am not mad. I am worried for you. I want you to have choices in life. You know, I want you to have choices of where you go to high school. I want you to have choices of where you're going to go to college. I want you to get into a four-year school. I want you to have all these experiences, and you're not going to if you stay on this path. I'm like, you're not a baby. Whatever. So I was talking to him, and he was so mad and upset that I took all of his things away. He couldn't even focus.
No.
And so he kept going, well, what am I going to do all weekend? Because it was a Friday. I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out. And then, so after about an hour, I spoke to him. Terry spoke to him. We spoke to him together. And then he was in my bathroom and we were talking about something. And at the beginning of last week, they did a mile race. Like who could run the fastest mile at PE. Uh-huh. And he won. But no training, no nothing. He won. He set the school record for his age group for the mile. And he told me, and they put his name up on the wall at school and this whole thing. So I said to him in the bathroom, I said, oh, because he kept saying like, oh, but this is all I'm capable of. And you just think I'm smarter than I am. I'm like, no. I go, look, if you were working so hard into your potential and these were your grades and this was the best you could do, I'd be totally fine with that. You know, not everyone is meant to be an A student. That's okay. But you want to see effort.
Right.
He's like bare minimum guy.
Right.
Anyway, so I said to him, we were hanging out in the bathroom and I go, so if I had told you a couple of weeks ago, hey, they're going to do this thing at school and they're going to, you know, see who can run the mile the fastest. Why don't you enter, like try to win? Would you ever have thought you'd win? And he said, no. Right. I go, but you did.
Right.
You didn't even know you could do it.
Poor guy.
And you did it. I said, you got to find it within yourself to get it together and think about what you want in life and where you want to go. And you don't have to have it all figured out at 13, but you have to know that you want to be on some kind of good path. Mm-hmm. And he, I swear, he came to me an hour later and he's like, he was like crying. And he's like, I want to go to a good school. I want to do well. I'm going to try harder. I get it. And I will tell you, we had a quantum shift in our house last weekend.
Really?
He played with his sisters. And he did have a friend over. Like, I'm not putting him in jail.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want him to be miserable. I just want to take away the stuff that's clearly distracting him. And my punishment isn't you're in your room for 3 weeks. My punishment is no electronics. Mm-hmm. So we took him to the ice skating rink so we could get some ice time. And the girls went. And he was teaching. Kat's so nervous on ice. He totally fully got her comfortable on the ice.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
To where she was skating by herself in the middle of the rink.
Oh, that's so awesome.
He was great. And then he came into my room on Saturday, I think. And Terry and I were, like, about to get ready for dinner. And he comes in. He's like, what are you doing? And I have this game table. And he goes, you want to play backgammon? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so we sat down and we were playing backgammon. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish we didn't have plans because I would have liked to have just sat there, although he probably would have been bored after 20 minutes. But I'm like, oh, if I had a cocktail, I could sit here for hours and play backgammon. This would be great Saturday night. Love this. Turn the fireplace on. But we played like a couple games. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go to my room. Okay, my moment's over. Bye-bye. But isn't that cute?
I love that.
We went into Terry took them running at the high school, all the girls and Nikki. They went running at the high school. We all hung out in the pool together. It was like a really beautiful family weekend. And I thought to myself, this was a well-needed thing. Even though it's a bummer, I think he needed this readjustment. I needed it. Terry needed it. Like, I think the whole family needed that.
So, I mean, at what point do you give him the electronics back? Do you put some sort of restriction on it, or?
Well, the one thing that I have had to give him back is his phone, mm-hmm. because just logistically, you know, if I drop him at practice or if someone else drops him at practice, another mom's picking him up from school, I want to know he's on his way. I want to know he got there. I need him to let me know if something's changed. So that's more of a logistical thing. And because I know he went into the teacher's office and he's making an effort and all that stuff, and he brought home two really good tests.
Good.
That clearly overlapped this whole thing, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
So okay. So that was that.
Oh my goodness.
And then when do I give it back to him? You know what? I don't know.
Maybe it's good. Maybe he doesn't need all that stuff. Maybe this is like making him, you know, appreciate his his family time and be more in the moment.
Yeah, and I think what happens is, you know, I always set limits on these things, or I say no electronics during the week. But, you know, if they have no homework and they've done really well, but okay, have an hour. That's but then happens. Sometimes an hour turns into an hour and a half or 2 hours. Or please let me just finish the game, or so-and-so's on FaceTime with me, or blah, blah, blah. And then you just lose control of it. So, yeah, it was like a good hitting the restart button. Okay. Now, I know when Nikki goes away to summer camp, which I highly recommend if your kid is a sleepaway camp kind of kid. You know, he's out there. Last year he went for 3 weeks and no electronics, didn't miss it, didn't think about it. He was just active the whole time. He loved it.
That's awesome.
Anyway, this is going to be – it's just really good for him. I'm so happy. So one of the things I was going to do with this weekend with them was I was going to take them to the store and put together a new earthquake kit.
Right. I've been hearing about this earthquake kit.
Because before we moved, when we were in the rental house, I pulled out the earthquake kit and everything was expired.
Yeah, it was old. Yeah.
By the way, good point. If you have an earthquake kit, go check it. Because if you open it and it's 10-year-old expired food, that's not going to go well. So I was going to take them. And I'm like, then I'm just picturing Coco and Target picking out sustainable items, and that gave me a headache. And then I went online and I Googled earthquake kits, and then some of them are very elaborate. But Terry freaked me out because the other night he's like, I think we're gonna have an earthquake soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
Why do you say that?
Because that's what they've been saying.
Who's they? Are they the same people that say diet soda gives you cellulite? Are they the same group?
I swear, that's what they're saying. Heather, will you back me up on this? That we are meant for, we're meant to have a big one.
I don't know. I've been hearing that phrase for like 15 years.
Yeah. And did you hear about the diet soda cellulite connection?
No, but that's kind of scary because I'm starting to drink Diet Coke.
Well, I could stop doing that, I guess.
I can't have any fun.
So I ordered this earthquake kit and I got, because Terry's got that weird spidey sense.
Yeah.
You know, like he really does in medicine. Uh-huh. So if he's, you know, he's got a patient, he just like thinks something weird is up. He makes them go get a test and they always have whatever it is.
Yeah, so
if Terry looks at you funny, that's a problem. But no, he has got that spidey sense. So when he said, we're going to have an earthquake soon, I went, we don't have a kit. So I went online. I ordered this stupidly expensive earthquake kit that's got like a tent and a generator.
Stop.
But it's only for 6 people. So if anyone, sorry, Natalie, if you're over.
I'm done. So
can't get in the tent.
It's all right. I'll just share with Coco. We're probably like the same height than, you know, normal.
The Coke machine will be open. So if you don't care about cellulite in the apocalypse, then there you go. Although the outfits might be small in the apocalypse. I'm not sure.
Oh, my gosh. So funny.
So bad. Comfort isn't the most important thing in the earthquake scenario. But I like being comforted. Maybe we should throw pajamas in there. Something soft in the earthquake kit. Like something from Soma. Soma. It's a company of women, for women, who know what women really want. Bras as comfortable as they are beautiful. Panties that stay where they should. Hello. Pajamas soft enough to bring busy women, busy moms, the sleep we all deserve. Soma designs products with genius innovations you can't find anywhere else. Back smoothing bras, vanishing edge panties that never budge, push-ups without the padding. I know I need those. And the company's been around since 2004. They know their stuff. 300-plus boutiques and so much more online. Soma is worth it. The quality is part of Soma's DNA. They obsess over every detail to make products that are better, softer, more flattering, to make women look and feel amazing every day. So are you someone that wants to get more and expect more from your bras and panties? Well, let me tell you what. Soma's all about the perfect fit. It's the perfect place to get a free expert bra fitting. Essential, especially after life changes like pregnancy, nursing, weight gain, weight loss. In boutiques, you're sized in seconds in the privacy of a fitting room without ever requiring you to get naked. Isn't that great? Because it's so embarrassing to go, yeah, no, totally. This is the best thing ever. You stay comfortable while they bring you styles and sizes so you can find your new favorites. You don't have a Soma nearby? That's S-O-M-A, by the way. No Soma nearby? Well, they're online fit tools, live chat, customer care team, and effortless returns make it easy to try Soma from wherever you are. Soma is offering Heather Dubrow Show listeners an exclusive offer. Get this, 20% off your entire purchase at Soma through May 1st, 2017. Visit Soma, SOMA.com/Heather for the promo code. So my friend Lindsay, who I always talk about, I'm throwing her a baby shower, first of all. So she's pregnant with her third child. Remember I outed her here?
Yeah.
So she was pregnant. So she's the girliest girl.
By the way, no pressure, because she's like
the best party thrower.
Yeah.
And she thinks of everything.
She's so creative.
She throws the best children's parties ever.
Yeah.
She's very good. No pressure. So I have to throw her. Yeah. I don't have to. I want to throw her a baby shower. I'm very excited about it. But I can't tell you the details because she listens to the show.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lindsay, you're not going to know.
So there's that whole story.
We're going to have to save for another time. But so here's the thing. So Lindsay's got these two little girls, and they're 5 and 6. And, they're so close and they're whatever. To make a long story short, she brought them to my house on Saturday, and she doesn't leave them places. They're always with her, or she's got like the one sitter that's been with her for 1,000 years. And like, I know she trusts me, but whatever. So she calls me. She's like, hey, listen, Craig and I were going to go to the, school benefit for, a couple hours. What are you guys up to? I go, bring them here. Oh, Coco will be so happy. Bring them here. Because poor Coco gets like a play date a millennium.
Yeah, totally.
That's it. Poor fourth child. And so Lindsay was joking with me, code red. They're bringing the kids. And then I'm texting her. I'm like, hey, look, because she's so healthy and, all of her snacks are organic. I'm like, don't be mad, but I just bought Peeps and they're going to show them how to put them in the microwave. And it's going to be so fun.
Corrupting your children.
So I come out of my room Max told me that they were there. So I come in my room and I smelled them, freshly washed children. She'd clearly bathed them, washed them, wet hair, onesies, so cute. Coco throws on a onesie and the three of them are running around. And I'm like, I promise I won't let them eat too many Peeps. It'll be fine. And they're watching the microwave. It was so cute.
That is so cute. Did she have the best time, Coco?
She had the best. I mean, they all started melting down because they were at a benefit. So they came back at like 9:30 or something, which wasn't crazy late, but they're little kids. So they were melting down a little bit, but they had the best time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
I love that for her.
Coco also had a little boy over. Oh, this was so funny.
She had a boy over?
I didn't tell you that.
No.
So this is so funny. So she had this little boy over. I'm not going to tell you his name in case any parents are listening. But this little boy, and he's so cute. Sweetest little guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's in my car, and he's telling me that he kissed this other girl in their class.
What?
On the lips.
He told you?
Yeah, behind the shed. Well, first I hear them whispering, because I took them for ice cream. Then we get back in the car and I hear them whispering, and Coco says to him, no, it's okay. What can I? She goes, can I tell my mom? And he goes, I hear him. She goes, no, it's okay. It's okay. My mom's cool. My mom's cool.
No,
I swear to God. My
that.
Mom's cool. And she goes, Mom, listen, he kissed so-and-so on the lips. And I go, really? Where'd you do that? And he goes, oh, behind the shed. I go, like at recess? Because apparently there was a game of truth or dare that Coco started the week before that went awry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which is why we started talking about this. I'm like, I don't think that's an appropriate game to play at school. I'm just saying. So he's telling me that he kissed this girl behind the shed. And I'm going, that's very interesting. It was so funny. But the way he said it was very respectful.
Right.
And like, he knows the girl. They're actually family friends. And then the mom came up to me today, because I take Coco to the library in the mornings before school. And the mom came over to me to say thank you for having him over.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I learned so much. And she was like, what? So I told her the story. And she's cracking up. She goes, oh, I know. We've heard about this, and we had a whole conversation. But the two families are really good friends, and so they think it's hilarious that they'll actually know what their first kiss was.
Oh, my God. Is that so funny?
But by the way,
where to kiss Coco?
Oh, I asked Coco. I said, and, I was being cool. As Coco
cool
said,
one.
I'm cool, so it's fine. I said, have you kissed anyone on the lips? She went, no.
She
said, have you been behind the shed? She said, no. Looked at me like you're a moron.
Yeah,
like I'm going behind the shed with this one.
That's so funny.
It was so funny. When does that become not funny?
I know, right?
What age is it not funny?
Not so cute
I'm thinking,
anymore.
Max hasn't kissed a boy.
She hasn't for sure?
No.
And Nikki hasn't either?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like Max would definitely tell you.
Yeah, Max and I have a very good, very open relationship, which I'm proud of, and I love them, and I'm really proud of the relationship we all have together. It's good.
Yeah.
I try not to talk too much about, the two of them, because they're 13, and I just feel like that was one of the reasons I left Housewives. I just felt like it was time for them to have a private life. And I can put myself out there and say whatever I want and show whatever I want. But when it starts to affect their lives and what they want to portray to the world, you know, they should. But you know what someone told me recently, this morning, in fact, on the phone, is that their daughter, her daughter, who is now 18, lashed out at her publicly. And, you know, not like in the like on TMZ. I mean, you know, on social media. Lashed out at her mother so that everyone could see it to punish her. And she's applying to college, and colleges picked up on it. And some colleges didn't accept her because they think she's unstable.
Stop.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. That's like, you know, when you apply for a job.
By the way, this is not one of my friends. This is a random person. But isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, you know, people will start looking you up and seeing what your whole social media, like, you know, feed is. And
I know. I always tell the kids, you know, be careful, because once you put it in writing, that's it. And I will never forget the aha moment that Max had years ago when she said, but if I delete it, it's gone. And I went, no, you can delete it, but it still lives with them because you've sent it to them, and you can still recover it.
Yeah.
It's like a ghost.
Yep.
Scary.
I think you have to be careful what you post on, you know, your social media pages, what you text people, send photos to people. Yeah.
Pictures of yourself partying. You've got to be really, really careful about that stuff. So it's a good reminder for your teenagers and even your college age kids, because they're going to be out in the market, you know, trying to get jobs and people, you know, you Google someone, and if, you know, that kind of stuff comes up, you don't really want that. Exactly. Anyway, I was so happy that I don't know why I got on that subject, but I was so happy that Lindsay brought the girls over. It was so cute.
Yeah, that is adorable.
So, so cute. Okay, here's another random story. So we were at this restaurant the other night, Gulfstream. And we go there all the time. It's a really good restaurant. And we're sitting there with the kids, and we're having a really good time. And this woman came over, and, you know, I do it, like, I have a thing, and Terry also, I'll always take a picture with someone. Unless
in the middle of eating.
If I'm in the middle of eating, like if I'm chewing, like there's food in front of me and I'm eating, or if I'm with the kids and it's not
appropriate
or it's dangerous or a huge crowd or airport, you know, something like that. But other than that, I'm always happy. I'm so appreciative and grateful for everyone's support of, you know, our podcast and YouTube channel, all that stuff. So I'm happy to take a picture. Yeah, for sure. But this woman comes over, and this is not the first time something like this happened, came over to Terry and said, hi, I don't know who you are. I don't know you, but I guess my daughter knows who you are, and you're, I guess, important and maybe on TV. And she, you know, would, I guess she'd really want a picture with you.
So obnoxious.
By the way, it was so, there's food, by the way, there's food on the table. We were just finishing like our starters.
Yeah.
This is in front of my children. All of the food is on there. My question is, why is she saying it like that? First of all, we're with our children.
Right.
Okay? So to come over when you're interrupting a family dinner, first of all, is a little, like, crazy. But, okay, maybe
if you were, like, a,
but if you're like, starstruck
out,
and, you know, you want to meet Terry and he's sitting there and, oh, my gosh, I get it.
Yep.
And then what he would have said, like, if someone said, oh, my God, he would have said, you know what, when I'm done eating, I'd be happy to take a picture with you, which is what he would have said. But it was so obnoxious, and he was, like, almost dumbstruck. Like, he didn't know,
like, how to even react.
React. And he looked at me, and I went, ugh.
I did.
I went, ugh. And I looked down because I was so grossed out. I wanted to be like, go away. But I am cognizant of the fact that her daughter is sitting at the table there watching this whole exchange.
Oh, she's there.
Yeah, of course she is. She wanted to take a picture with her. And I'm, of course, the daughter would probably be mortified.
Right.
And Terry went, yeah, sure. And he knew it was about the daughter. She goes, yeah, yeah, sure. And she was right there. And we were done with our starters, whatever. So she came over, leaned in, and he goes, yeah, nice meeting you, whatever. And he looked at me and he was like, is it me?
Or
was that rude? I go, it's rude. I go, I think the problem is that people don't get it. So then I started thinking, so why does she say it that way?
Right, because there's a way of saying, just in a sweet way, like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't really know who you are.
But why even say that? Why not just go, excuse me, I'm so sorry to disturb you. My daughter is such a huge fan.
Totally.
Is there any way she could get a picture with you? And he would have said, of course.
Yeah.
But this whole preamble, but why do you think people say that? Do you think it's because
they don't want to come off?
No, they want you to know. Yeah, you might be important, but I don't know who you are, so you're probably not. To me, it's just so obnoxious to say something like that.
They probably know that you guys get approached constantly, and they don't want to be one of those fans.
I don't know. It was such a negative thing. I mean, people will say to us things like, I know you probably get this all the time, or I know everyone's coming up to you. I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. You know, whatever. Look, if I saw someone that I really wanted to meet, I don't know if I would say the complete appropriate thing. But so let me just give you a few tips out there. If you meet someone and you want to say hi, first of all, don't go up to people while they're eating.
Right.
It's just don't do it. Just like, you know, when you sit at a restaurant, anyone, and they put the food down in front of you and it's hot, don't you hate when one person, like if there's four of you, one person, they bring the meal wrong, like it's the wrong meal or it's cooked wrong or whatever. They have to take it. And now three people are sitting there going, well, do we start eating without you?
So what do you think about that? What's appropriate? Should they eat? Do you think that person
All right, well, let's get back to the table etiquette in a second. I just want to finish the celebrity thing. Yeah. So if someone's eating, let them chew. Let them finish. When they're on their bill or something, or when they're walking out, that's a better time. Or before they get their food, that's a better time to go say hi. And, you know, just be polite. Keep it short. Hey, I'm a big fan. Or, hey, I love your show. Or, I'm so excited to see you here. Would it be all right if I had a picture? And you know what? If someone says no, because not everyone feels that way. Some people, you know, look, I'm not Madonna. I can't imagine. I'm sure people like that have bodyguards and you can't get up to them anyway. But there's people that are, you know, have really big, and they probably are just constantly inundated with people. So if you go over and you say hello and they don't want to take a picture, or they just say hi, nice to meet you, you know, you got to read the signs.
Right. Yep.
Because not everyone's the same. Mm-hmm. You may never need this skill. I don't know. I just thought it was so rude what she said. And I'm looking at Terry sitting there with his kids, and she basically came over and said, yeah, I don't know you. Therefore, you must be no one. But my daughter knows you. So, I mean, to me, and I might be exaggerating it that way, but that's how it felt to the table. And the kids were looking at us like,
ew, like what?
Like, you're going to take time out of our dinner to go talk to that?
Yeah. But he did it for the kid, so that's nice.
Yeah, of course. But geez, man.
Yeah.
So table etiquette.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny. We were talking about this last night because we were celebrating Natalie's birthday, and Jackie made us dinner, and it was beautiful dinner. But we're all sitting at the table, and there's, what, eight of us sitting at the table, and, you know, half the people are done or whatever, so she starts picking up plates. Now, the way I was brought up is that you leave the plates in front of everyone until everyone's done. Because if everyone's done but one person and you pick up all the plates, they're sitting there with the only person with a plate in front of them. They feel like they either have to rush or they can't finish, or, you know, maybe someone's a slow eater, or maybe they just enjoy. To me, you leave, and I don't know if it's a European thing because my parents lived in Amsterdam for 14, 15 years, but to me, that's what you do.
Right.
Even at a restaurant, I despise when I'm sitting at a restaurant and they pick up plates around me. First of all, if I'm eating, don't touch everything on the table, because those hands that are touching your things have also touched everyone else's plates, and, you know, everyone's, you know, but they've bussed the table. So when they put down a clean plate in front of you, don't start wiping and picking things. Like, why are we doing that?
Yeah. So you just tell them, do not pick up your...
When they go to... Unless it's the kids, and, you know, sometimes they'll eat their entrees while we have appetizers. They don't need to sit, because they might want a color or something. I'll have them pick the kids' plates up. Uh-huh. But if I'm sitting with adults and they try to pick up... Actually, my friend Dina's like this, too. Uh-huh. She'll say, we're not ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then if someone gets their meal wrong, I mean, I think the other people probably just have to start.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the one time. But I think the person should say, go ahead and start with.
Yeah. You have to give permission. And then I think what's sort of kind is, like, if you're sitting with, you know, a date or something and they say, hey, why don't you start by having some of mine? Say, great. Just put a little something on your plate, or take a piece of bread, or take, you know,
that
whatever.
Way they're not eating alone.
Yeah. So you have something in front of you. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Any more etiquette questions? Was that it?
Wondering,
but it's funny because when I said
like
it to Jackie,
out of my mouth like a.
Did you
hog.
Take your Invisalign out?
No, it's still here.
No, you can't, really can't. Oh, now I can see them. But you really can't see them though. They're like Invisalign.
No, you can. Oh, I can feel them.
By the way, on this week's Heather's Closet, I am not wearing black.
Oh, finally.
I just want to tell you.
Everyone's been commenting about that.
I'm wearing white and pink. I got this cashmere long duster, and I took it out. This was so funny. I have to scroll back here. I have this white coat that I love, and I've had it for a gazillion years, and it's white, it's comfy, and it's yummy. And on a cold day, I'll throw it on, just like to run errands. It's a casual coat. Yeah. And I went to go pick up the kids, and I had it like crossed in front of me instead of zipped. And one by one, each of the four kids get in the car and they go, "Why are you wearing a robe?" Each one.
And you thought you looked fabulous.
I did. The heck?
That's the worst.
Like, it is not a robe. It is a coat. Anyway, so I had ordered a bunch of stuff from Intermix, and a lot of times they'll put in extra things for me to try, see if I like them, whatever. So they put in this long pink cashmere duster. I can't remember who makes it. It's so beautiful. And I put it on. I'm like, I want to live in this. But I, you know what a duster is? It's basically a bathrobe. So I put it on. I'm like, are they going to think it's bathrobe? I don't even care. I would wear it as a bathrobe. It's so yummy.
It looked so cute.
So I wore it, but I'm going to wear it. This is what I decided. I'm going to wear it like a duster.
Okay.
For like a handful of times. And then when it's had its moment, I'm going to use it as a robe.
As a robe. That's good.
I am. I love it. It's so good. I want to sleep in it. Then I'll be sweating all the time. Okay, I don't know. It's so cute. But go look at Heather's Closet. Yeah. Wait, is it up yet?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, good. Go look at it. You'll see. All right. Let's move on to our beauty tip of the week. So we've been talking recently about curlers and all. Did you try using the curlers, by the way?
No, not yet.
Okay. You got to use the curlers. But so I forgot to mention, so this is my beauty tip, to use a root boost.
Okay.
A lot of people use like a volumizing spray, things that add volume, but I like a root boost. Sometimes they're moussey and sometimes they're kind of drier. So you know how you – like I love that dry texturizing one, but if your hair's wet, if you get a root pump, a mousse one or something like that, it's so good and it keeps it dry in there so your hair doesn't get greasy and gives you volume.
Yeah.
So the one that I'm mildly obsessed with, I hope they listen to my show, it's called Izazu. And I have to tell you where I got it. My nephew's bar mitzvah, Eli's. So this is now, let's see, he's 18. Okay. So this was 5 years ago, five and a half years ago. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's a salon there. I think it's called, I-Z-Z-A-Z-U. And the gal came over and she blew my hair dry at the hotel for the event, for the bar mitzvah. And they brought me all these products. And at the time I was like, I don't use hair products, whatever, because I really don't use a lot of hair products, but every once in a while, I'm like, I feel like I need a little lift, a little something. And a couple weeks ago, I went into my drawer and I pulled out the Izazu Root Boost. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, we got to Google and see if there is Izazu Salon still open.
Let's find out.
If they are, man, thank you for those products. See, 5 years ago. But you know, I tend to do that. I'll buy things and put them away and use them later. Is that weird? Mildly?
It's weird that you actually go back and use it. I never go back and
well,
use it. I like
to
get rid of stuff. Oh, yeah, Izazu Salon.
Yeah, Izazu Salon in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Go visit them, you guys. And they were so nice, and they brought me all this product. And by the way, what great marketing to come bring me some product for free. Okay, 5 years later, but there you go. I love it. Hippest, hottest, newest comes from my girlfriend, Danya. And she just bought this. All right, I have to tell you the truth. I have not tried it yet. I did just order it, though. But she swears by it. And it's called Dermaflash. Have you ever done dermaplaning?
I have not.
Okay. So I talk about this when we go to Evine a lot because I'm always about exfoliating. We've got this Expose product that's a really good exfoliator because the reason men age better than women is because they shave their faces every day, and that's like the best kind of exfoliation there is. Okay. So instead of shaving our faces, we need to exfoliate somehow. And here's the other thing. Dermaplaning, you have to go to a licensed esthetician for this, and they basically take a little blade and shave your whole face.
Oh, you know what? I have done that once a while ago.
It takes off all the dead skin cells.
Yeah, you feel like you have like baby skin.
Oh, like it's the best thing ever.
Yep.
And it gets, if you have like a little peach fuzz or whatever, it gets rid of everything.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
So there's this great gal, Dawn, in Terry's office, an esthetician, and she does that. But she's so booked. I mean, I can't even get in to see her. So Danya sent me this thing today called Dermaflash. And what it is it's an at-home dermaplaning system.
I wonder if it's pretty easy.
She said it's easy. She said it has disposable blades. Uh-huh. It's not cheap. It's $189. Dermaflash. But she said it's super easy. You're not going to cut yourself. And wait till you see how it exfoliates your skin.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's awesome.
I know. And it even says it goes from fuzzy to fabulous, which I thought was so funny. Anyway, that's my hip is hot as news. I feel like all I have done this week is run around. I have had so much to do. I'm hustling. The kids are bustling. I'm trying to get the summer schedule together. I'm trying to get some shows off the ground. And I got a huge to-do list. Yours is probably different than mine, but you have a to-do list too. What do you have to do? You have to drop off the dry cleaning, pick up the milk, get the kids from school, get your kids' hockey skates sharpened. That's still on my list. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O, geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today. Don't go anywhere because I have got the three stars of the TV Land hilarious show Nobodies coming up next. It's Hugh Davidson, Larry Dorff, and Rachel Ramirez. Such a funny show, and it's produced by Melissa McCarthy and her husband Ben Falcone, so stay tuned.
Hey, Duck Dynasty fans, we got a new podcast, The Jeff and Jess Show, with me, Jeff Roberts.
And me, Jessica. We'll be talking about our many passions, including faith, family, and everyday life.
So check out new episodes of The Jeff and Jess Show every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Okay, this is very exciting. I'm going to put it out there from the new hit TV show premiered just last night. Two nights ago. That's fine. But hit TV show on TV Land called The Nobodies. It's Hugh Davidson, Larry Dorff, and Rachel Ramirez.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
So exciting to meet you and be here.
I'm so thrilled that you could hustle over it. Where do you guys film?
We shot most of it at Paramount and then on location around town.
Okay. So this is produced by some famous people.
Us and Ben Falcone and Melissa McCarthy.
Now, did you guys all know each other from the Groundlings?
Yes.
Okay, so you're all Groundlings people.
Yes.
Which means, by the way, if you don't know Groundlings, it's like if you're uber talented in comedy, you go to the Groundlings. It's like the place sucks you in.
Yes.
True.
And then you work your ass off, and
like
then it spits you out.
Yeah.
So what happened? How did the Nobodies come about?
Well, we have known Ben and Melissa for probably 20 years, and we've been a writing trio for the past maybe 10 years. And we originally, I think it was probably, I can't remember the year of those Oscars, when Melissa was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. Our other Groundlings friends, Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo, were nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Our other friends, Jim Rash, Nat Faxon, won that year for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Descendants. So it seemed like everyone we knew.
They were all Groundlings at the same time.
Yeah, they were all in our Groundlings group. And so it just seemed like everyone we knew was at the Academy Awards.
Except
you. And we were watching at home in our
pajamas. Oh my God, I hate that story. So, all right, so honest. I know you're happy for your friends, but are you kind of like eating a tub of ice cream like, why? Why?
It was kind of like, we thought it was still funny, though. We were aware enough to know that there was something absurd about it because we were writing on a kid's cartoon at the time.
Which none of our kids liked.
Right.
The biggest insult.
Yes, right. They wouldn't watch it.
What was that show?
The Looney Tunes
It was a
show.
Reboot of the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, okay.
We loved writing on it, but it was just sort of funny because we would say, oh, we're writing on the Looney Tunes show, and there would just be blank stares, and then it's like everyone else we know is super mega famous. And then we came up with an idea to pitch Ben a movie idea that we had called Mr. First Lady, about the first male first lady, and we thought if we could get Ben to get Melissa to sign on and be attached to play the president, Hollywood would hand us millions of dollars.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. And it was going to get us out of the
kids'
business.
By the way, I'm already in. I'm like, where's the ticket? Uh-huh. I'm coming.
That's what we thought, too.
But they didn't think so.
Oh. Didn't go over.
So then we just went back to our lives writing the kids' cartoon.
Yeah. And we actually pitched it. So they weren't interested, but we went and we pitched it around town. We're like, we don't need them. We'll pitch it ourselves.
We didn't say
we don't need those losers.
And in this building, we pitched
up.
it.
Yeah, we did pitch
to,
it here.
To one of our many failed pitches with it. Because people, when we would pitch them the idea, they would say, oh, you know, okay, what are you guys working on? And we would say, we're writing on a kid's cartoon. And they would be like, oh, you know, oh, maybe that's cool. It's like a Simpsons
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is it Fox? Is it Netflix? And we're like, no, it's on Cartoon Network. And so they just think that we are kids writers.
Although Looney Tunes back in the day had adult themes in it.
Yes.
True.
Right.
And we try to jam in adult themes in the one we wrote, but
not so much.
They didn't want to give us any.
They're kind of fighting against
something. There's no leeway.
Yeah.
No leeway. Keep it clean.
Yeah. So the meeting kind of ended whenever they would find out that we write on a kid's show.
Okay.
And then Rachel and I would then desperately just say all the famous Groundlings that we know. We're from Groundlings with...
We know Kristen Wiig.
Kristen
we know.
Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, you know, Cheryl Hines. So if you like them, you like us because we're exactly the same.
Same sauce.
Larry would get really red-faced and sweaty.
And he was desperate and awful.
And embarrassed.
It's hard. Pitch meetings, auditions, they're the hardest things ever. It's like you put your soul on the table. Just go. You could just sit on it. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, crush.
Terrible.
That's why all of us were writers. Well, maybe Larry was still sort of acting.
Larry is a very popular commercial actor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've met you before, Larry.
I have a familiar face. I also played the murderer in Bones in an episode of Bones.
Well, there were 600 episodes of Bones. So that doesn't mean anything.
I was in the program Party of Five.
Oh, I like that show.
These
that was
shows
a good
are
show.
So long ago.
Well, let's not compare resumes because mine's like from the year Gimmel at this point. Okay, so how do you get over the hump? So you're losers. You're writing this kid's Looney Tunes. You're not really losers.
Right.
I'm
right.
just saying that. But this is how you feel, and all your friends are super famous. And how do you get over that?
Yeah.
So
then we thought that was funny. We thought that in and of itself was – there was something inherently funny about that. So we then said, why don't we tell Ben that would be our idea for a show? It would be us trying to get out of the kids' business.
Okay.
And Ben liked that. And then we pitched that with Ben and Melissa, and TV Land was like, I think the first day we pitched it, they wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
we had a couple pitches where Melissa didn't come with us on the pitches, and you could tell that's
they were
the only
disappointed.
Reason. it resonated with TV Land, and they're in the process of rebranding their network, and it just seemed like a perfect family, you know, to be there and work mm-hmm. with them, and they helped us tremendously. So.
Yeah, and they let us be – not just write it, but play ourselves, which a lot of networks would have said, oh, you got to get better-looking –
younger, better-looking people.
Yeah.
Let's get the better version of you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
know.
Then we wouldn't be nobody. So we sort of had, like, this gimmick that made it so that – we had to be in it.
And we have known each other for such a long time that we do have great chemistry together.
Medium.
Always a good thing to say.
Yeah, but that is what you need because it is the chemistry. You know, I love when people pitch shows about like, oh, and we're here and we're there. And they give you the scenario that the characters are in. But if you have great characters, they can exist in any scenario. So you already had that kind of relationship. And obviously working in being the Groundlings for so long, you develop that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's really like a shorthand that we all have with each other. We were writing our scripts really fast, and it wasn't for any other reason than we know each other's voices so well. It's not like I write my lines, Hugh writes his lines, and Larry writes his. We really understand each other, and we were really willing to poke fun at ourselves. So it's not really a show about poking fun at Hollywood because we're really not – we don't even consider ourselves in Hollywood. So there's nothing we can even make fun of. We're just sort of on the outs, and we're, you know, I'm a fan of – it's very weird for me. I'm, you know, to see some of my best friends, but then also be a little giddy like I'm a fan of theirs as well, you know?
Isn't that funny? But don't you also think, you know, most of us, whatever stage you're in, we always think like we're nobodies. Like you always think, oh, they're going to find out I'm not really talented or they're going to discover that I don't really know what I'm doing or this will be my last job. I mean, that's a pretty common theme.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even in like if you're just a parent or something, you know, and you go to take your kids to school and you compare yourself to the other moms who have pulled themselves together in the morning and I'm in my sweatpants or whatever the case is, we think it's a relatable theme, you know?
Yeah, because when we were writing on Looney Tunes, it's like, well, that a lot of people would love to have those jobs. But when you compare yourself to your friends who are at the Oscars, that's where you get into the trap. Of like, you know, the grass is always greener.
Right.
And that's relatable for no matter what you do.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I, you know, I've been on a reality show, not anymore, but I was on a reality show for 5 years, and having come from the scripted world and then seeing, you know, colleagues and whatever go on to do more shows, and you go, okay, you know. But I think, though, what I love about this show and the theme of it is exactly what you're saying. It kind of crosses borders. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the message is, you know, you're, even though it's funny, you know, the message is you're really not a nobody unless you think you're a nobody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we, myself, I love reality TV, so I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, thanks.
And I do feel like there's a bit of a reality aspect to our show.
Yes.
In that we are playing versions of ourselves, and we are, you know, interacting with all these people who are playing. The celebrity guests that we have on the show who are friends of ours play pretty awful versions of themselves, Melissa in particular.
you called in all those favors, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, good.
And we called everyone we knew, and then Ben and Melissa were nice enough to call some of their famous friends.
That we don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now you know.
I don't think
I don't
do.
Really
no.
I don't think they would know.
They were there
we
one
were.
Day. I bet they don't know.
Although, I mean, Kristen Bell was in an episode.
Okay.
And then
did you get digits or?
Well, we were at
no.
We were at the airport a couple of weeks
yeah.
ago.
And she knew who we were.
And she knew who we were. She
you were all
saw
together.
Us out,
yes.
Oh. And she talked.
We were all together.
We're always together.
Yeah. That was a big tip yeah. off.
No, it is, because sometimes I'll notice when Terry and I are together, it's different than if one of us is alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because we do get – people do say, oh, my God, you guys are always together.
Well, so, wait. So, yeah. married relationships, who?
Hugh and
Hugh?
I yes. are married.
You're married to each other?
We're married to each other.
I didn't know
but not
that.
On the show.
Not on the show. We keep much of our personal lives separate from the show. But
we didn't do that really – because I think when we were trying to pitch the show, we kept thinking it's like – it's us, but about 5 or 6 years ago or longer.
Yeah.
And so, and for some reason we thought, oh, we shouldn't be married. But we didn't really think it through. And then we were even saying to them, oh, to TV Land, the day we pitched it, remember? We were like, oh, and we might have a will they, won't they kind of thing. But we had no idea how to do that or what that meant.
And then that became like a big part of the series. And so all of a sudden, Hugh.
You had a sex scene.
I had a sex scene.
A sex scene, not
good
a love
for you.
Scene, a sex scene.
That's Hugh, the best ever. It's a free license to cheat. You just,
oh my
you
God.
You're contractually obligated.
It was shocking.
With Leslie
did you
Bibb.
Watch?
He did
yes.
Watch.
I didn't know what I was supposed to
you
do.
You were eating and fried chicken.
But then the whole crew was staring at me, like trying to figure out. What is Hugh going to – what is his reaction going to be? And I was just like – so then I was like trying to pretend like I've seen this before, which I've not seen that before. And it was so crazy.
And then Larry is practically married to us. He's obviously married in real life and has 2 kids. But he is such an integral part of – I don't think Hugh and I could work together as a writing team
no, we
if it were not for Larry.
We would have killed
Larry,
each
is
other.
Your wife yeah. jealous because she's not part of this – menage here?
You know, it is weird. She does think it's a weird relationship.
I mean that the best way, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, I'm involved with them and they're married, mm-hmm. and then Ben and Melissa are married. So I think she does feel a little left out of it.
What does she do?
She is, well, I met her. She took classes at the Groundlings. I was her teacher.
You seduced her.
Oh. Is that you use legal? That.
I don't think it is. It's certainly unethical.
It's unethical.
Yes.
But she teaches Pilates. She's,
oh.
And she's a mom. We have 2 kids.
So she's super fit. And bendable. Those are all good qualities in a wife.
Yeah.
That's what she does.
And how old are your kids?
5 and 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're still in the trenches.
We're in the trenches, yeah.
My youngest is 6.
Yeah.
That's who just called me right before we started. Mom, I want to go to Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
Well, one of mine got kicked out of Taekwondo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's where you send the bad kids into Taekwondo.
He was kicked out of baseball.
No, it was karate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always good when baseball ends. I love baseball,
terrible...
but when your kid plays baseball, mm-hmm. it is just the worst, the longest games.
And we had a terrible situation with baseball. with the coach was very...
Say his name.
what was his name?
No, I remember.
You know, it was him, and he lied about his kid's age to get the kid in the league, and everyone—that's
a big deal.
Yeah, and it was like they're on traveling teams.
Oh yeah,
and it was so competitive.
They lied. My son in 7th grade. There's a kid in his class. I swear, he's shaving. 7th grade.
Wow.
He's an Amazon. They must have kept him back 4 years.
Wow, I remember there was a kid in 7th grade, Russ Neymark, I remember. What? And he had a hairy chest and he shaved in 7th grade.
His parents wanted him to be a star in college. He was graduating college at 30. I'm telling you, these parents do this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not.
I have very average children. I like them.
You want that?
They're better average.
Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah. I agree.
They're dabblers. They're fine.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to peak too early.
No,
we're
for
proof
sure.
of that. Don't peak too early.
Isn't that funny? It's funny that you mentioned that because right now in my life, I'm doing some things that I didn't think I'd be doing at this time. Like I thought parts of my career were over that seemed to be resurging. And I hear people say things like, oh, I wish I was 30 again, or if I could turn back the clock. But what I think you're saying, because this is how I've been feeling lately, I'm just curious. I don't want to be younger.
No. Uh-huh.
I don't want to go back. I'm surprised that I'm getting these opportunities at this time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that kind of cool?
I think it is, because you're wiser, and it's like, you know, also having kids, it kind of puts everything in perspective.
You appreciate
and,
it more.
Yeah.
The gratitude level
You don't get
huge.
Sucked up in the that sort of false showbiz, like, you know, it's not the neatest thing in the entire world to have your face on a billboard. But I bet it might have been, you know, years ago. It's certainly surreal, but the important stuff really is what matters. And the writing process for me was still the most fun. And then getting to perform. And then all this stuff, this publicity and everything, this is a little nerve-wracking.
Really?
It was funny. We did a Facebook Live the other day, and we read the comments, which I guess you should never read comments.
Never read comments.
They're tough. They're really tough. And I said to Hugh, like, what other profession do people comment?
Well, yeah, now so all these, really.
That's what Yelp is for.
Yeah,
don't go
brutal.
On Yelp. Don't read the comments.
Brutal.
Especially Facebook. There's a lot of space to write. It's not like Twitter where there's only like 120 characters.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
It is. I think all of us like, you know, because it's like, oh, you know, the premiere. And are you going to, what'd you do for the premiere? And, you know, making that such a big deal.
What did you do?
It's tonight.
We're going to be in our pajamas.
Oh,
that's all right. They know we take a couple days before. I know. You know what's so funny? I always try to be right about it. Like, last night, I mean, tomorrow, I don't know. I get confused.
I don't want to wreck your show.
That's right. I'm so happy you guys are here. But the show is on Wednesday nights on TV Land.
Yes.
10 o'clock?
Yeah.
That means it's racy.
Yeah.
Like
it's racy.
Well, there's nudity, sex scenes.
Yeah, apparently. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But what I think we all like the most is the doing of the work. Like, we like the writing and we like the acting of it. And like, when I would see finished shows, that's where the – because, you know, we've already seen the episodes and before they air, obviously. But, you know, that's where the pride comes in. Like, well, I really think this is really good and I think people are going to like it. And that's when you know, get the juice from it.
Isn't that so
funny? Instead of looking at the...
No, I totally get it. I remember when I was in high school, I went to a summer program at Carnegie Mellon University, theater program, and I had this teacher, Matthew Vakey. No idea where he is. I don't know why I remember his name. But he said to me at one point, he goes, Heather, at some point you have to decide if you want to be an actress or a star.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that's so easy. Star!
Yeah.
Hello!
Yeah.
But, you know, it took me all those years because now, like in my 20s, you know, you're just not as grateful as you are now. And it is about the work.
Yeah.
And it's about, and I think when you get older, you realize when you have the kids and when you have the relationship and everything, you go, okay, yes, we're healthy. We're like, put all that stuff on the table. We have all that good stuff. And now, what is it that I want to do that makes me happy, that's creative, that feeds my soul?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And you work with your husband, too.
But in a very limited way. So that's what I want to know about you guys, because I think the reason why Terry and I enjoy working together, one of the things that we always tell people is that it's important to find something for you and your significant other to do together, whether it's, you know, fitness or a hobby or whatever. For me and Terry, we have found spending more time together by working together. We write books together and we have a skincare line and all this kind of stuff. But we also have separate careers.
Right.
So it's not like a 24/7 thing.
Yeah.
How do you guys, you know, go, you have to write together, you're on the set together, you have the kids together. Is that overwhelming?
It is. And we eventually stopped driving to work together because it seemed like, well, of course we should drive to work together. We're going to the same place. But it's like even those 15 minutes became really important to have your
alone time.
I love that. That makes a lot of sense. I've never heard anyone say that before. Couples that work together drive separate.
Yeah. It's fabulous.
Not good for the environment, by the way.
No.
No, that's
not
so much.
You got to pick something.
Yeah, bike ride to work separate. Yeah.
Wow, that is a great idea. What else do you do to sort of keep it? I mean, what do you talk about? My fear about working with Terry like too much would be at the end of the day, you go, so yeah, I got nothing.
Right.
You know, well, you used to have a thing where you would only talk about work when I was around. And then when I left, it was you don't talk about it.
Right. We did try. Yeah, we try and do that.
Nobody's happened. It sort of blew up all our previous plans because it's like this seemed more all encompassing. Because once we were shooting, that was crazy.
But it's a single camera.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
So you don't have to be there at the same time always.
But right. We naively wrote ourselves into practically every scene. We learned so much through this process.
Because we're always together, so in real life.
And we will not do that. We didn't know. Like, we would write something and it would be like nighttime on a freeway. And then we're at nighttime on a freeway filming. It's like, why did we write that?
Right. But that's, you know, part of the process. You figure it out and you learn. And
yeah.
And eventually the show will open up and you'll have other characters probably, and that'll relieve some of that.
Absolutely.
Not this year.
Season 2 is going to be a lot. You'll barely see us.
I like that. I've already said it's a hit show and you're on season 2.
Well, we got picked up, Heather, before it aired.
Shut the front door.
I know.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I know,
we think
crazy.
It's a mistake.
It's gotta be
it's
a mistake.
It's not. Don't say that out loud.
It's like when they let out people out of prison early because the wrong paperwork was filed.
Right. They're running.
Yeah.
By the way, who cares? Run. Season 2.
I know. We're very excited.
Yeah. So are you going to shoot both seasons back to back?
Well, we already did
everything's
season
done.
Everything's
season,
done
oh, it's all in
one.
The can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So when do you start on season? Or you have to write all the scripts.
Yeah, right. We write them all ahead of time.
You write the whole season ahead of
we
time?
We do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
It helped us.
It did help us so that we could focus on writing and then focus on performing. Hugh and I, in particular, are... you know, green at doing any camera work. Larry, as he plugged earlier, has been on Bones. And
I learned a lot of things on Party of Five.
Party of Five, I know. Yeah. That was good for you. I really think so.
It was. It really was a funny experience, though, because I had never acted where... I just truly didn't know how it worked. So I didn't understand the concept of coverage.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't realize that you would do a scene like
10 times.
Yeah. And I also didn't know.
We were also bored by the third time. We were like.
Well, I didn't know. Like, I'd be thinking I'm doing my best acting, and then I realized there's not a camera on me.
Or, by the way, I know. And then by the third season, you start going, could you do my coverage first? Uh-huh. And then you leave, and poor Hugh's acting with a tennis ball, and, you know.
I remember this made me think. There was a movie called Evan Almighty. And it was the disastrous sequel to Bruce Almighty.
Yes.
And I was in that movie. And I had zero lines in the movie, but I played a cop. And there was a big arc in the movie. I don't think I ever saw the whole movie, but there's a big arc.
He just watched his part, his wordless part.
And everyone's got to get on the arc because there's a storm coming.
Okay.
And so it's a huge wide shot, and I'm jumping around, and the director's like, everyone's running on the arc, and I'm jumping around, I'm putting so much energy into it because I just want to be seen in the movie, and I'm like, get on the arc, everyone, get on the arc, and I'm screaming at the top of my voice, and I'm losing my voice, and I'm working way too hard, and then they switch camera angles, and our friend, who's also in Nobody's, Rachel Harris. Had a real part in the movie, and she was like, "Larry, you know you were not at all in the frame or on camera for that entire part." So I learn where the camera is. If you're in it, don't work too hard.
Okay, what can everyone expect from Nobody's this season?
Lots of fun celebrity guest stars, groundlings and otherwise, which is just fun for me because I like. Celebrities. You get to know our characters deeper and our family lives on the show. You'll meet my ex-husband and his current husband and my daughter, and Hugh lives with a roommate, and he has a relationship that develops with this beautiful woman played by the lovely, talented Leslie Bibb. We get to meet Larry's wife and kids. You see us at our work writing our kids' cartoon, and you see us just scrambling and desperately trying to
pitch this movie. And a lot of racial nudity.
Yeah.
And a lot of nudity.
And one
good
thing about
for
Rachel,
you.
I know.
The nudity, I just can't. Well, now I've had four kids and I'm old. I'm just.
Well, the secret apparently is body makeup, which I didn't know there was such a thing as body makeup. And your skin just looks so pretty.
Oh, and lighting is everything. If I could have like that pink, no cellulite lighting in my bedroom, I would do that.
We had a really good cinematographer.
That's so good. Yeah. God bless him.
But I think Rachel's character does something that's really interesting, which is she's a fan, which I've never really seen done before, like someone who is friends with a famous person that has famous friends. So she's sort of like the person that is reading People magazine that wants like a scoop. Right. Like she's talking to Ben Falcone.
Because this is all in real life.
Well, yeah. In real
and
life.
She wants Dish. Like, who does Jennifer Aniston, who does she hate? Is there a feud? Like, I just want
Ben and Melissa to tell me all the Dish about their celebrity friends, and they won't divulge anything.
Really?
So it's like, if you're going to have a famous friend,
it should be valuable.
Yes.
You don't, like, get them drunk
too nice.
Or stoned or
they're
take
too
them
nice.
They're too
nothing.
Nice.
Oh. They're too nice, but I'm
by the way, that's sweet. I like
I know.
That. That's a good quality.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because I don't believe there's nothing there.
I know.
Yeah,
right?
There's something.
It's
yeah.
so
there's always
there.
Something.
Yeah.
That is so. All right, you guys, tell. So the show, Nobody's on TV Land, every Wednesday, picked up for second season already in advance of its premiere picked
mm-hmm.
up.
Don't get
amazing.
Cocky.
Don't get. You guys won't.
No.
You
no.
get it. You get it. You're talented. You're awesome. Nice. 10 o'clock TV Land. Tell everyone where to find you. I'm going to start with you.
Where to find it?
Social media.
Oh, me on social media?
Yes, because they might go, Hugh's so cute. I want to send him a tweet.
Hugh is on.
I'm not on anything.
Rachel, you got to get him on something.
He's on Twitter.
Okay.
But I don't do anything with it. I think one time I bought Chipotle, and then when I did on the computer, it said, do you want to tweet about it? And I did, and then it just said, I'm enjoying delicious Chipotle.
That's what I wrote. That's going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah.
when I first started the social media thing, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, right. you're back on television. You got to, like, have social media. I didn't know how to do it. So I got a Facebook page. I didn't understand, like, it was supposed to be, like, a fan page. I didn't
right.
know.
Right.
So I just accepted everyone. Yes. And then I wanted to get rid of it because I had all these people from prison.
Right.
And that were my friends. And then my sister told me I couldn't because I was going to ruin the time-space continuum or something if I got rid of my Facebook. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm bad.
Social media is nerve-wracking.
It's a minefield.
It is. I did a Facebook thing about the premiere, which was 2 days ago. and all it does is give me
anxiety.
I'm just keeping checking. It's like, God, I'm not 63 likes, that's it?
I know, but you know what? You lose that after a while.
Yeah.
And I think what's cool about it, there's like a lot of negatives to the whole social media thing, but I think the good thing about it is that you do get to give people that like you information about where to find your show or if it's a new
right.
night or what the special guest star is going to be. And the people mm-hmm. that like you and want to follow all that stuff, they get excited. And it's cool. And it's a different way for them to interact with you.
It's a positive
that's
way to
true.
Look at it.
And then the other side is crap. Don't read the comments.
But those Snapchat filters are fun.
I don't put filters on anything.
Wow.
I don't want people to meet me in person and go, oh.
Very
that's
smart.
Rough.
You,
well, you
do look beautiful in
thank
person.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I will I say you look exactly
here.
Like the way you do on TV.
I do?
In
uh-huh.
person.
Thank you.
I've watched it too. Let's not act like I
in
have.
In fact, Hugh is a huge Terry fan.
I'm a Terry fan.
Oh, he's going to be here any second.
Oh, well.
Get to
and
him.
Terry, my theory is Larry reminds me of Terry.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe so. Maybe that's why I think you look familiar to me. Hmm.
Something about
yeah, yeah.
him.
Can you see
they have a kindred spirit,
but Hugh, everyone tells you look like who? No one tells you look like Woody Harrelson ever?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes.
I can see that.
Totally.
Wow.
And Hugh's from Texas.
Like
is
the
Woody
young
from Texas?
The young
yeah.
Woody
right.
Harrelson. Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
totally.
Pre-cheers.
All right, Rachel, what about your social media?
Well, like Hugh, I'm only on Instagram to keep tabs on our 12-year-old daughter. So,
when we get off, I'm going to we get off the air, I'm going to help you.
Okay, sure. good. We need all the help we
yeah,
can get.
No
Larry
problem.
Is verified or certified?
I'm,
what's it called?
Verified.
You have a
on
check.
Twitter.
That's a big deal.
And I need more Facebook friends because I got 63 likes for talking about the premiere.
Larry loves
that's not enough.
Social
you're saying
I need more.
You need more. All right, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
You guys are fantastic. Congratulations
thanks, Heather.
On all of your success.
Thank
I wish you.
You
a million seasons more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Before we get on to Dear Heather, I want to remind you to go to podcastone.com to find all of the great sponsors of Heather Dubrow's World. Because of them, I can bring you Heather Dubrow's World each week with limited ads at no additional cost to you. So if you've heard a sponsor that you want to try out, or you forgot a sponsor and you want to see a list, you can access them by clicking on the Killer Deals button at podcastone.com and visiting the Heather Dubrow page. I only approve sponsors who make sense for my audience, and each of my sponsors are listed there with the banners linked to the promotional deal and the promos listed by the brand. So it's everything you need, easily accessible in one place. Thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to all of you for supporting them. Also, Heather Dubrow's World is a participant in the Amazon Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for me to earn fees by linking to Amazon.com and affiliated sites. You can link to Amazon at podcastone.com.
Hey, this is Roxy Diaz.
And this is Nina Parker.
Now, we are two pop culture veterans who love nothing more than talking about the latest trending topics.
Now, we're talking about everything, the relationships, music, celebrities.
And maybe the banana pics I get in my DM. I don't know.
We're talking about everything.
All right, now you get to join us every week on our new podcast, Little Black Dress with Roxy and Nina. Check out new episodes on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on iTunes. Guys, it's the Little Black Dress because every woman has one.
Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
All right, what do we have for Dear Heather?
Okay, here's a question from Haley in Dallas, Texas. I recently got engaged, and both my fiancé and I are fortunate enough that both sets of parents would like to contribute to the wedding. Only problem, no one has given us a specific budget. We want to start planning, but do not want to get too deep without knowing our boundaries. Only his parents live in town full time, so the idea of inviting both moms to venues, tastings, seems difficult to coordinate. Help. How do I ask politely for the budget without sounding demanding? Also, how do I ensure my parents feel included from afar?
Okay. First of all, you should each talk to your separate parents. Maybe send an email. That way they can think about it. You're not putting them on the spot. Or call them and say, hey, I don't want you to answer this right now. I realize this is a longer conversation, something you need to think about. But the more time I have to plan, the more options I'll have depending on, I just feel awkward. But be honest, I feel awkward. I don't know how much we have to spend. We're so grateful that you both want to contribute. But could you let me know maybe what that numbers sounds like to you and that kind of thing. And they'll give you the number. As far as having everyone there, do this in steps. Don't do all this at once. First, figure out the number. Let everyone commit to the number. Okay, great. Find out if they're going to give it to you in a lump sum. How, you know, do they want you to hand them bills equaling that amount? Find out what's easiest for them. Then you have that crossed off the list. Once you get that settled, then I would move on to this. Hey, I'd really like you each to be involved in the wedding, but I feel like too many cooks in the kitchen. I will get overwhelmed. Make it about you, not about them. So I'd like to give each of you a special part of the wedding to help me on.
There you go.
So have, since your mom is far away, maybe she can do, what can you do from far away?
I mean, she was saying like the tastings and, you know,
well,
at
tastings,
the
obviously,
but, I mean,
you
even
have.
Even if she came out once, you can bang all of that out.
Oh, yeah. My mom, that's a good point. My mom didn't live here. She lived in Amsterdam when we were getting married. And she came in and I would coordinate all. You know what I did? By the way, brilliant, Natalie. What I did was I would go do a first look at things. And because why waste her time? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you don't like it and they like it and then they irritate you about it because they're paying for it, you got to be careful. So you only want to show them choices that you actually like. So here's what you do. Go look at all the venues. see what you like, narrow it down to your top two or three choices, and then take her. But make everything in a day. So if it's important to your mom to meet the florist, go see the venues and then go see the florist. Because the florist really is the whole look of the party, because they do all your – usually they do all your linens and your rentals and they do all that stuff. Yep. So that's a big ticket item. So maybe if you do the venue and the florist with your mother, maybe with your mother-in-law, you can do the menu and the cake. You know, some, or maybe you want to do the cake with your husband. That's up to you. But I would personally take the money thing off the table – go do your own footwork first, and then give each of them something special to do with you so that they feel good about it, you feel good about it. Here's my other advice, though, is with the significant other. I remember Terry said to me, look, I love you. I want to marry you. This is going to be great. But is it okay if I don't care about the flowers, or I don't care about this, or I don't care about that? And I was like, totally. Yeah, don't care about anything. I go, just love whatever I do. And he said, okay. And he did.
Yeah.
That was great. Yep. That's kind of what happened with this last house we built, too. I was like, I don't want to hear about it. Well, I had a different attitude. I was like, I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me anything. I'm just going to build it. But that worked really well. So it's a good idea to have a conversation with your significant other about what's important to them, what's important to you. I've heard of some guys that like to be super involved in the wedding. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not good. You don't want to fight over things. So it's good to have conversations about what is important.
Perfect.
There you go.
Next question is from Lisa in New York. Hi, Heather. As a mom, do you have any advice for eating at restaurants with kids who have different palates? I just want all of us to enjoy a meal in a nice environment. For example, child one likes Italian, child two wants Mexican. I don't think that's too much to ask, right? Thank you. I am anticipating your response.
I don't know where you live or like what level of nice we're talking about, but those are very different cuisines. And I feel like the, what was the first thing? Italian. The thing I could think about is like, we have a restaurant near us, Javier's. Do they serve pasta at Javier's?
No.
No, they don't have pasta at Javier's, but there are some Mexican restaurants, nice ones, that will have pasta on the menu. Maybe, you know, with seafood on it or something, but that you could get plain or with sauce. So sometimes you want to look for options like that. Sometimes they have kids menus that you could do. I don't know how old your children are, but I know places like the Cheesecake Factory have a very wide variety of choices there. California Pizza Kitchen has, you know, some Mexican flavored sort of dishes and salads and things. But really, if you're going to go for two different cuisines, your best bet is to find either a continental restaurant that has a little bit of everything or some kind of through line that everyone loves. Because here's what I found. When kids start to smell things, taste things off your plate, that's how their palates expand. And you have to expose them to those things, or else they're only ever going to eat burritos, chicken fingers, pasta, and let's call it kid food.
Yep.
So I know a lot of times, like, the kids will say, oh, what are you eating? And I'll give them a taste, and they'll love it. So the next time, I'll order that for them. I was just talking earlier in the show about this restaurant, Gulfstream, and the way I got the kids to go there, it's a nice restaurant. People go there, you know, for a nice dinner out, but it's not crazy fancy or anything like that, but it's a nice restaurant. But they have paper on the table, so the kids can color on the table, and they make the best, these little skinny French fries, and they bring them in a cone. Uh-huh. All of my children love French fries.
Yeah.
So how it started was we would go there, they'd color, they would eat their French fries and have a bite of fill in the blank. And then, you know, one of them started liking salmon, and then they all, now all like artichoke. So they'll each start with an artichoke. And then, you know, Terry likes rotisserie chicken, and they tasted it, not the bland kid version, but the real version with the au jus on it and the flavor and everything. And they loved it. And now after a couple of years, that's how they order. So I think the answer to your question is, obviously, read menus, find stuff, but expose your children to as much as possible. And if they don't like it, no big deal. You want to try this? Do you want to smell it? Do you want to? Okay, cool. No big deal. And that's how you start to expand their palates. And eventually, you'll get to a place where they will just find something.
Thank you. And our last question is from Christy in San Antonio, Texas. It says, Heather, now that it's daylight savings time, we are starting to sit outside in the evenings and are interested in your new tequila drink. We have tried making it a couple of different ways and now have a bet regarding which way to do it. Please help us settle it. Can you share the secret of using the tajin? Do you line the rim of the glass or put it in directly in the drink? Thank you in advance for setting this for us.
I love this letter. I love this question. Best question ever. Okay. And I have to tell you what I did the other night at Javier's, by the way. But okay. So really the way that I originally designed the cocktail was to rim the glass with tajin, which is a Mexican spice. It's so yummy. It's red. So you rim the glass with that and then you put this, I like silver
Patron. Are you putting lime first and then sticking it with?
I have one of those fancy, not fancy plastic glass rimmers,
okay.
You know, that they have at bars with the spongy thing. And so you put lime juice. Yeah. So you could squeeze a lime. Okay. So you put lime juice and then you put the tajin so it's, you need something so it sticks.
Yeah.
So you rim the glass with tajin and then I like silver Patron and club soda with a nice healthy splash of lime juice in it and a couple of fresh limes squeezed in there.
Nice.
And then I don't drink it with a straw because I want to get the tajin in my mouth from the rim of the glass.
Right.
But here's the thing. After a while, I like that the tajin gets in the glass.
Right.
So it's kind of both.
Oh.
I know. And then we went out to dinner the other night and somewhere, and it was a restaurant I knew they didn't have tajin, so I brought some with me.
You did?
I did. To Gulfstream. This was a very big night at Gulfstream.
Yeah.
So I brought the tajin with me to Gulfstream, and I thought, how am I going to rim the glass? Like, that's weird. And so I took a lime, and I squeezed it around there, and then I put some of the tajin on the lime and tried to, like, dab it around the rim of the glass.
Yeah.
And then I ended up kind of just throwing it in the glass. So I'd say, classically, I like to just rim it, but if it falls in, kind of good too.
Love it.
You guys, thank you so much for listening. This is a fun show. Love being here. We have some really cool guests coming up in the next few weeks. I'm excited about. Can't wait to share with you. And don't forget, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig podcast right here on Podcast One. Go to heatherdubrow.com for all of our upcoming appearances as Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig on Hollywood Today Live. We have some fun e-news segments coming up. We'll be back in Minnesota with Evine with, our new Consult Health products. These are awesome. I mean, I'll give you, should I tell them like a little hint? No, we'll do it on top. Listen to Dr. Minnie's Guinea Pig and I'll give you like a little hint of what's to come. It's really exciting though. Also, don't forget you can get the automated emails. So all you have to do is go to podcastone.com/Heather and then on the bottom you just sign up and every time a new show comes up, you'll get an email. So you will never miss an episode. And watch Heather's Closet on YouTube. Become a subscriber and you could win something fabulous from my closet. Thank you guys and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.